Sports 113, Jonathan Knight of the making of Major League, this week on the Tech of Sports, Jonathan Knight. And just want to let you know that Modern Life Podcast Network mobile apps are a great way to receive our content on your smart devices. And the Tech of Sports is a member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. And the Tech of Sports is a production of the Modern Life Podcast Network at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. So a lot of great things going on. And again, I pre-recorded an interview here for the Tech of Sports this week. If you're a fan of baseball movies and the cult movie Major League, which came out in 1989, baseball fans and sports fans love the movie. And Jonathan Knight has just written a book about the making of Major League. So a lot of inside information about the cast members and the making of the movie and how it almost didn't get made. And a foreword of the book was written by Charlie Sheen, who played Rick Vaughn in the movie. So MajorLeagueBook.com is where you can go and find out more about the book. It's available on Amazon and anywhere else finer books are sold. So I pre-recorded an interview with Jonathan Knight, the author of The Making of Major League, and I kind of asked him what his inspiration or why did he undertake this endeavor?
Well, I think, you know, it starts naturally with a big fan of the movie. I've been a big fan ever since it came out, and for me it was personal because it was the perfect movie at the perfect time. It really kind of cemented me as an Indians fan and a baseball fan to some extent. I think that was the first time that I'd been following baseball a little bit, but I'd never seen it quite so fun, and I didn't have quite so much fun with baseball as I did with that movie, and that sort of showed me, hey, this can be fun. This whole thing, there's a lot of fun here. So I think just having that background with it, that origin with the movie, as I got older and met more people who felt the same way, particularly in Ohio and Northeast Ohio, and how that meant so much to Indians fans who had endured so long without seeing a winning team, and this was sort of their first experience with a winning Indians team, that they really cherished this team and really cherished this movie. And after a while, I just kind of realized, well, hey, there's kind of a story here. There's a legacy to this movie and how it became what it is and why it means so much to so many people. It'd be kind of fun to dig in and explore why that is and how it got to be that way. So that's kind of where the came from.
One of the things Jonathan talks about in the movies, even though it was about the Cleveland Indians and their improbable win, improbable run, the movie was actually filmed in Milwaukee at the old Milwaukee County Stadium, which has been since torn down. And I asked Jonathan, is he surprised that the people of Milwaukee have really taken to the film as much as the people of Cleveland?
I am surprised because I didn't even at the time when they were filming, and that's something that sort of goes, the book goes into a little bit, that David Ward and the producers and the people working on the movie, they were surprised by how receptive Milwaukee was to this and how excited they were about it. I mean, partially it was a Hollywood movie coming to town, which didn't happen a lot in Milwaukee, so they were excited about that. But just in terms of getting people out to the ballpark and the enthusiasm for the filming and the creation of the baseball story about a team that was not their own, I think it was very surprising. I think they just expected, once people realized it wasn't about the Brewers, that interest would taper off, but that was really never the case. So to see that, you know, the Brewers are having a Major League night next week and to see how it is sort of Milwaukee sort of does claim it as their own, it is surprising, but in a way not, because it is universal. It's not something that only Indians fans or only Cleveland people really claim to. It really does have a broader appeal to that than that. And so for Milwaukee, it is as much their movie as anyone else's because it was filmed there. So they can kind of see it as a whole movie in a way.
The book really is great, and I recommend it. If you've seen the movie, if you like the movie, the book's a great read. And I asked Jonathan the reaction of the people that have read the book or that have found out about it.
Yeah, the reception's been really great. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect, but the reception has been very enthusiastic. I mean, people, fans of the movie are really kind of bowled over when they see it. They're just, wow, there's a book about this, and there's just that sense of, wow, this is really great, and they really do want to read it. So there's that sort of excitement there, and it's carried over. You almost the same reaction from everybody that I've all the people that I talked to and worked with to put the book together, and that I've, you know, given them copies of the book or sent them copies of the book, and they've taken a look at it. And I know Tom Berenger loved it, Corbin Burnson loved it, Charlie Sheen really loved it. I mean, he just went bananas over it. And we actually talked on the phone after he got his copy. He called me and just was glowing about it. It was just really, which was an incredible experience. It was incredibly gratifying to hear that Wild Thing himself gives his thumbs up. So
I asked Jonathan if he encountered any red tape or resistance when he went about writing the book.
Not really. I mean, the only real issues that I had was scheduling, and it really was primarily Charlie Sheen, because his schedule, he was still doing anger management at the time. He had just come off of 2.5 Men and had gone into that, and he was just, their production schedule was just ridiculous. So it took about 8 months to get him for an interview, and there were several reschedules and lots of times we thought it was going to happen and then it didn't. So it took quite a while. But he was always enthusiastic. Like, he always wanted to do it, and when I did finally get him, like, he was great. He gave me more than I ever thought I would get, and actually wrote the foreword for the book. So it was totally worth the while. It just was required some patience, and then there was some. And then it was just a matter of going through the right channels and you know, Paramount and Morgan Creek and of course David Ward and Chris Chester, the director and the producer, once they were on board early, I think that opened up a lot of doors. So it really went much smoother than I really ever expected it would. So it really was, it took a lot of time and required a lot of patience, but it really wasn't, there weren't a whole lot of roadblocks.
Continuing on with Jonathan Knight, the author of The Making of Major League here in the Tech of Sports. And one thing the book goes into, Jonathan does a great job explaining it, is the whole premise of the movie is the Indians have never hadn't won anything in forever. But the year the movie was being made, the Indians actually were in first place at one point, and it would have really hurt the premise of the movie. And I asked Jonathan, was he worried about that and what he thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine? The one thing they never anticipated was the Indians actually getting good in the time period between they starting filming and the movie coming out. And it turns out, of course, the Indians took a dive right on cue, and it was not a problem. But yeah, there were a few nervous weeks there where it was like, geez, the bar was not really high for the Indians. If the Indians went out and even just had a nice season or a winning season or were in contention to the end, and now all of a sudden, 3 months later, you have a movie coming out that is about the Indians being just so woeful, they've never even been in contention for 20, 30 years. Everyone's just kind of looking at each other like, well, okay, but they had a good year last year. So yeah, so it worked out. The Indians wound up with a sub-500 record and really kind of fell apart as the year went on. But yeah, kind of interesting, but it was almost like, geez, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. You're trying to make this movie to help turn around or get people excited about the franchise, and suddenly the franchise starts to play well or just well enough to be troublesome.
Continuing on with Jonathan Knight and The Making of Major League, since he's on the Tech of Sports with me, I kind of asked him the process and maybe the technology he uses in writing a book.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, it's changed quite a bit. I mean, as you know, I've been writing books for about 15 years now, and gosh, the technology that's been available has really changed the entire industry, from marketing and publishing books with e-books, of course, and the distribution method there, to just even writing and the technology that enables you to do some things you couldn't do 15 years ago. From the internet, of course, has been incredibly helpful, and now you can do quite a bit of research on the internet, a lot that you could not do years ago. But short of that, I mean, there's digital recordings and email and text messages. There's all kinds of ways to get in touch with people and record conversations and transcribe interviews and all of these types of things it's a lot easier now, or it becomes a lot easier than it used to be.
Looking back on it now, the movie Major League was the launching pad, or really the continuation for a lot of Hollywood stars in their careers. And I asked Jonathan, is he surprised by all the stars and the people that came out of the movie and the success they had?
Yeah, and that's something I think I kind of knew starting out, but I never really, really thought about it, was how it really these big actors really watch their careers. And you're looking at it, even if you watch it for the first time in a long while, you'll see some familiar faces like Wesley Snipes and Rene Russo, identities, but those are the big three that really launched their careers. But yeah, I mean, it was Renee Russo's. It was her very first movie, and I mean, she just hit the ground running. She, over the next 10 or 15 years, she was basically the top leading lady in Hollywood for a while there. Wesley Snipes, of course, became one of the big box office sensations of the next 10 or 15 years, and this was his, I believe, third movie, his first really kind of major role in a major movie. And then Dennis Haysbert, this was his first movie. He'd done about 10 years of television work, and now, of course, we know him as the Allstate guy, but had a big role on 24, and it's had several big roles on television. And you, even today, when you see him in Major League with the shaved head and the goatee, you may not recognize him instantly visually, but as soon as he starts to speak, you recognize that voice. So it is kind of surprising, I guess, if you weren't really tuned into that. But yeah, this movie was a very big deal and launched the careers of some very talented actors.
I kind of jokingly asked Jonathan if there's any plans for an audio version of the book if it becomes really successful, and how would he feel if getting Charlie or Dennis to read the book?
That would be a dream come true. I would love to see an audio version just in general. I'm a huge fan of audiobooks. My iPod is stacked with almost nothing but audiobooks. I love them. I would love to see this book as an audiobook, and yeah, to have like a Charlie or Dennis Haysbert or one of the iconic voices to do it, boy, that would be the icing on the cake. That'd be a dream come true.
The movie actually, Major League, came out in 1989, and just I kind of started thinking, could this movie have been made today? And I asked Jonathan about that and what his opinion on that would be. Would this movie get the green light to be made today in 2015?
No, honestly, that movie could not be made today. Nothing like that movie could be made today. It was such a different landscape in terms of getting permission from Major League Baseball and having Major League Baseball involved in your project than compared to now. Then it was basically, there were very few baseball movies being made at all back then, so that really kind of helped Major League. It hurt them for a while because Hollywood wasn't interested in baseball movies, but then when it came time to get the permission for Major League Baseball, it helped because they were a little more eager and ready to listen to a pitch. But now, when you look at that, and now there's an entire division of Major League Baseball that deals with permissions and script approval and all of that. Back then, it was maybe a handful of people that just kind of looked at the script and said, okay, yeah, go for it. And then that was something that the producers were very nervous about because of the language, because of some of the hijinks going on in the clubhouse and whatever, and primarily the overall plot of a Major League owner wanting her team to tank so she can move it. I mean, all of these things would be major red lights right now if that script were to arrive in Major League's offices. So I think that if that script were to arrive today at their offices, it's not necessarily that it would just be declined out of hand. I think it would be, okay, you can go with this story, but here's what you need to cut, or here's what you need to change, and you wind up with a much more maybe Walt Disney type of version of it. So not to say it would be a bad movie, but it would be a very different movie.
Yeah. And I asked Jonathan, as we wrap up, this being one of the ultimate guy movies, why is it a movie that guys really get and maybe some women, I think more and more women are getting it, but some women just didn't get?
You know, that's a great question. I just recently I watched it with some friends, a woman who hadn't seen it before, and she really enjoyed it. She's not a huge baseball fan, but she did dig it. I clearly not to the extent that I and the guy we were watching it with, who just like me had grown up with it and really loved it. And to us, this is a touchstone experience. This is a game changer for us in our lives, this movie. So I think guys maybe are much more willing to latch onto it and appreciate it as a classic, and girls maybe will appreciate it and laugh at it, but not necessarily see it as something they're going to remember forever. maybe that's the dichotomy there.
Really enjoyed talking with Jonathan, and just like every other guest here on the Tech of Sports, I ask him, what's the one piece of technology or gadget that he can't live without right now?
Oh, I guess it would have to be my phone. Either my phone or my iPod. I don't know. I said earlier, I was talking about the audiobooks that I listen to in my iPod. That's huge. Driving anywhere, I need to have words and be absorbing stories or whatever. But yeah, I mean, probably my phone goes with me everywhere just because it connects you to email, connects you to Facebook or whatever other tools you have. So yeah, it has to be one of those two. So either way, you know, Apple got me in their pocket at this point, and I have them.
Like I said, great to have Jonathan Knight on, the author of The Making of Major League. It's available at Amazon.com. And for everything about the book, go to MajorLeagueBook.com. It's a great website and a lot of information about Jonathan and the book on there. So thanks for tuning in to the Tech of Sports this week. Listeners can should go to ModernLifePodcastNetwork.com and see everything else that's going on here at the network, along with Two Thumbs Up Media, TwoThumbsUpMedia.com, the internet and podcast directory set up by the people here at the Modern Life Podcast Network. So thanks for listening. Go enjoy the book and watch the movie Major League again. It's a great watch. You've been listening to the Tech of Sports podcast, a Modern Life Podcast Network production.